It's good to have you today.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Yes. Well, thanks again for your faithfulness to God's work in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And so if they want to start this video, we might have shown this. Some of you might have seen it. But I think it's just a good bring us back what it's like to go into a remote village in the Congo. And there are still many villages that are seeking for the truth of God's word. We get letters all the time and invitations to come and share the gospel in different villages throughout Congo. And there's many areas that don't have, you know, the clear presentation of God's word and the gospel. So this is flying into where my grandmother was buried in 1936. And so we're using MAF, which is Missionary Aviation Fellowship. And so we're charting a flight. The pilot is going to stay with us. And we're traveling with my aunt, my only aunt that's still alive, of the five children, Aunt Louise. She is still down in Suriname, and her sons are missionaries there. Her husband has since passed away. But we're taking her back for a 100-year anniversary, celebrating that why would God allow us to be part of giving the gospel, which is God's power to salvation to everyone believes, and being part of building what God is building, and it's His church. And that church is visible through the local church. So if they want to just start that video. So this was 2017. The 100-year anniversary. Remember, French is the official language in Congo. Lingala is one of the national languages. My grandfather, like I said, a little bit of history that we went through this morning, going out in 1917 and to the village of Mbongo. Herbert Ernest Grings, buried in the capital city. He passed away in 1976. My aunt, my grandmother, also buried there in the village of Mbongo. The five children aboard the sailing ship. My dad being the oldest there. My uncle, who started the church that I am pastoring. And the shipwreck that we shared with you, how everything was lost. But my grandfather knew that God had a special plan. He didn't need all that equipment. And going into these remote tribes in the center of Congo, sharing the word. And here to see my aunt, my grandmother die. And then the five men that step forward. And my grandfather says, no man can serve two masters, for he will either love the other one, hate the other. So they, five men, learned their witchcraft, trusted in Jesus as Savior. Of course, this, how great thou art in French, the official language. So we're flying from the capital city to Mbongo, more in the heart of Congo. 3 days. Board turboprop caravan. The pilot is going to stay with us. Flying over the area I was born and raised and grew up as a kid. Finally into the deep jungles where you just see jungle, and arriving at an airstrip that is made by scientists who are studying bonobos to prove that man came from a chimpanzee. This is my aunt Louise, still living, 94 years old. She was 89 there. My sister Becky and her husband's also missionaries. Pastor, we just passed there, Pastor Longomo. Our oldest daughter Sarah and Christoph and their kids. They're missionaries in Belgium. Welcomed by the village. And just think of these little kids, never seen a white little boy before. Just think if you'd seen a little creature like this come into your village. They all want to touch them. They all want to feel your hair. Still to this day, I have people, girls will come up behind me and just touch to feel if it's really real. And even in Kinshasa, I've had kids come up and wipe their skin against me to see if it'll turn a little bit white, but it doesn't. Christophe and Sarah, they're a big termite mound on the left there. The tall boy there, one of the young men that trusted Christ and became like the pastor of this boy's home. As we walk about 2 hours into the village, my brother-in-law takes my aunt in by motorcycle, my sister Becky carrying Caleb. Pastor David right there, that's before he got sick, before he got diabetes. And my aunt says, we didn't leave this country because we wanted to. But war came in the 60s and independence. And God sent us to Suriname. We're serving God in another world. The name of it?
Suriname.
So this is where they welcomed us, at the village. My grandfather taught the people to make brick houses from sun-dried brick. This is now our president of our Fellowship of Baptist Churches. They're introducing the different ones. That's Pastor David, who is now in Kinshasa. They set up a little shelter so we can put up our tents. We set up a bed, a local bed, for my aunt so she doesn't have to sleep down on the floor. So Saturday is just a day of teaching. Seminars. Men have come in from churches all around that were established way back in the early 30s, 40s, whatever. And so here's the teens. Simon is teaching the teens. Seminars, men's seminars. Different teaching, and we took in Bibles, MP3 players, literature. Pastor Pongo teaching about training the next generation to be leaders of the local church. One of our young men that went to a Bible Institute, where Pastor Sparky and Mindy have a Bible Institute up on the Kasai River. So as seminars are going, the ladies are preparing the food, the cassava, which is the main potato that has to be soaked to take out the poisons out of it for 4 days. Aunt Louise teaching the ladies. Amazing that out of the country for over 40 years, she can still remember to speak in Lingala as she grew up there in that village. Also had health seminars where both Sarah's husband, Christophe, and Sarah would teach health seminars. When your kid gets sick, what is it? How do you know whether it's malaria or whether it's an infection? What do you do? Village life. This man's making poisonous arrows, and is shot with a smaller bow at monkeys, and if it hits them on their finger, 10 minutes later the monkey gets dizzy, falls out, and then you shoot them. Using balloons to get kids to hear the gospel. Just think if you've never seen bubbles before. It was a neat time. Friday we played soccer. All the men played soccer with the village kids. Here they found two wheels off a carry-on and put them on these sticks and were pushing our grandson around. But just to connect with the villagers. Each night we would show a film. So I've tried to buy small pocket projectors here in America, that run off an SD card, run off 12 volt, and then I make up the pack out there. I buy a gel battery, two solar panels, Chinese solar panels. I make everything an amplifier, Bluetooth amplifier that will fit in a backpack, and get it to pastors. And we had one of these that we showed films every night. So you project it at night up onto a screen and people can hear the gospel. Who can name this song? I translate it into Lingala. You guys know it, don't you? Walking in the light, keeping your attitude right on the narrow way. For if we believe, with joy we will receive. We always will obey. Boom, boom. Come on, you guys know that one, don't you? Simon teaching Jonah. And to think that this young man had such a burden for the gospel, that's why we brought him on this flight. Only 9 passengers could go. But he contracted malaria while he was there, and it turned into a complication. And 3 months later, we had to bury him in the capital city. But a man that spent his last months sharing the gospel and leading other teens to the Lord there in the village of Mbongo, where my grandmother is buried. Sunday morning service. I try to take guitars and keyboards back when I can, although it's very expensive to take them on the airplane, especially when we get a container. So this is one of the keyboards. We helped one of the young men get there. It runs off a little 12-volt gel battery that's charged by a solar panel. Pastor Longomo, take my heart, take my life, Lord. It's all for you. Can you guys hear it okay? Is it high enough? You can hear it okay? So special music, just as I am. Our daughter Sarah's playing with Simeon. You see the little 12-volt battery there running the keyboard. Pastor David and his family singing. His brother is now a pastor up in that area. He wants to go with me soon back to visit those churches. So there's many areas in Congo I want to get back and visit. My aunt is saying, this work we have met today because of the power of the gospel that was shared by my dad. It was a little seed, and God took it, and it spread, and you have received the gospel, and that's why we're here today. This is a song my grandfather taught them in 1936 in their tribal language. Bela kaye suloko. Because I've worked with this tribe, I can understand it, but I don't speak this dialect. So they had me preach, and I shared how their ancestors hunted elephants with spears. We have an elephant spear on the back table if you want to see it. And how they would get the power from the witch doctor. And how they would take a bath and then cover themselves with elephant dung and go behind the elephant and take a running charge and try to go right into the stomach and into the vitals of the elephant. And whoever got that first spear in that weakened elephant would get the elephant tail. And then he would get a palm nut kernel on his elephant choker from the witch doctor. These ladies walked for about 60 kilometers. And one of them is Pastor David's wife right in the middle, Mama Tantini. And she's now working with our ladies there in the capital. I sing through him all the day long. I'll follow him all the day long. So we eat a lot of cassava. There it's the kwanga, very hard. You work it in your fingers, and then you go in, and whatever they have, monkey meat, whatever. There was antelope meat. We sent our flashlight out at night with a longbow and got the diker. You can see the little horns on the back table there. More seminars taking about physical health and then bringing it into the spiritual health. As Christophe teaches in French, the official language, and it has to be translated into a national language, but not the tribal language. So he's fluent. He speaks also fluent Dutch and French. A real blessing when they come out teaching. He's still finishing his Bible school there in Belgium. Pastor, reading from Numbers about the brass snake. So, only 3 days. Monday, it's time to head back to the capital city. One of the men with his poison arrows. Bush meat, monkey meat, all kinds of bush meat. They're dried, going to be sold, and then traded for soap and salt, things that are necessary. This man's a thief, so they've bored this green log, putting his hands through it, put pins in so he can't steal. He also had some mental problems. We were able to help with some medications. Some of the teens that Simon ministered to and trusted Christ as Savior. As we pack up our tents and just thinking the time is so short to be able to share the truths of the Word, but to see the fruit of the gospel from those that were faithful and those that remain faithful. And then just giving an admonition as we walk out of the village. That's Pastor David with his helmet, his motorcycle in the background, the pilot with the cap on. So I give a little exhortation, and I give three words in English. Who can hear it?
Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Tell me where that verse is in the Bible. Lead, follow, or get out of us. I'm talking to leaders. If you're a leader, be a leader that God has given you. And if you're not a leader, God hasn't chosen you. Well, be a follower. Stand behind your pastor and your leaders. One of these men came, who was a pastor, and they pushed him on the back of a bicycle for 1 week to get to these services. They got the message through ham radio. Up there, they don't have cell phones yet. As we walk out with my aunt, thinking she'll probably never get back to see these people. But the gospel has been shared. They have the Word of God. They have pastors, some that are trained, some that are not. And as we see this aircraft that has been waiting out there for us for 3 days, thinking if we had to find local transportation, it might take us up to 1 month to get back to the capital city by walking through the jungles to the closest dugout canoe down the river, finally to a barge to a river boat to go down the Congo River to the capital city. And here in 2.5 hours, we're out of here. But this airstrip has been built by evolutionists who are going behind these bonobos, chimpanzees, picking up their poop, excuse me, and studying it and saying, these were our ancestors. And the Africans look at them and they say, they might be your ancestors, but they're not ours. It's good that they know God's Word. Well, Pastor, that's a video. Should we get into God's Word? Okay. If you can get into the PowerPoint, open your Bibles this morning for truth from God's Word. Wow, how time flies. But don't look at the time. No. just a little encouragement. I want you to think of the truths from Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. I just want you to meditate on some of the truths that the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. It's Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, go to the ant. Ants have a mission. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit after the service, if there's time, of some truths that you could learn wisdom you and I could learn from the ants. Why do we get told to go to the ants? So it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So we're going to do a little acrostic of wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, somebody doesn't have to tell him what to do, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And as I've lived in Africa, in the jungles, I've seen different kinds of ants. I've seen what I call army ants. I've seen, or we call them also driver ants. And they have big pinchers. And then I've seen crazy ants. And these crazy ants are trying to take over my wife's kitchen in the capital city. And I come out there in the morning, and they're crazy. They're just going everywhere. They have no direction. They're just all just going over. And it makes me think of 1 Corinthians, you know, was one that beateth the air. They have no mission. But driver ants or army ants, they go in a line. They have a mission. They seem to know what they're doing. And as I was went out after I had 1 year in Salem, Oregon, at Western Baptist Bible College, I went out to Congo for 1 year to help my parents. It ended up 3 years. I built my first mud stick hut in the village, and my mom had a mom, dad had a mud stick hut too, and I lived with my African brother. And one night we got invaded by these ants. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard everything flopping down from my grass roof inside of, and I picked up my flashlight and shined, and my whole net was just covered with these army ants. They have a mission. They have come to kill everything alive that's in our mud stick hut. And I call to my African brother and says, we've been invaded by the army ants. And, you know, there's lizards and cockroaches and rats, and they're falling plop, and all these ants get on them, hold them down and eating them up. And they'd eat you up alive too. And so I said, I'm a man. And I checked my net and was tucked in good. I'm going back to sleep. And just that roar of ants, thousands, millions of ants in your room. And I'm going to go back to sleep. And then I can't go back to sleep. I get my flashlight and I shine. My pants and shirt are out there. And they're all out there. I'm going to get bit up. And they have big pinchers. And when they go into you, they pinch. And you pull them. And it'll pull off their body, but it won't pull off their head. Their head will stay on there till you crack their head, and then those pinchers come open, and two nice little blood marks come where those pinchers went in. So I knew what it was. So I called my African brother, and I couldn't sleep. I said, let's get out of here. So we just run out our mosquito nets, and these ants come up, and they just bite on, bite on, bite on, bite on. You're rubbing them off and everything. And I say to my African brother, I says, let's go knock at my dad and mom's months to cut, and maybe they'll let us sleep in their house in the living room. He says, taboo, you don't do that. When you move out from your mom and dad, you don't come back to their house. I think that's from the Bible too. So anyways, we slept out in the Jeep. But the ants were on a mission, and they're going to finish their mission till it's light, and then they're going to go, and you're going to come back, and nothing alive is going to be in your months to cut. It's all eaten up alive. So ants are quite the thing in Congo. But, you know, God's word has a lot to tell us about the ants. And ants, first of all, work together. They work. They work together. Ants have initiative in their mission. They don't have to be told. They don't have to be pushed. They don't have to be, come on, please do this. And store up for the future. They've got something in mind for the future, not just today. And they have extraordinary strength. So just a few, and I'd love to talk to you about some truths you might know about the ants after the service. So army ants can build bridges. You see up there how they can cross. They just put their bodies out. One holds on to another. And I've seen them cross little streams in Africa. And it's just holding on to each other, floating, and all the army ones are going and doing their mission on that side and coming across a bridge of live brothers and sisters down there, whatever you want to call them. But each and knows its responsibility. And when I think of in 1 Corinthians how it says each of us, when God saves us, puts us in a special place within Christ's body and within the local church. And we're all working together. It's not what Dan Grings is doing or some missionary is doing. We're doing it together. And when I think of ants and when I think of biology, and one of my friends who is a biologist told me that when they start working, they start feeding the maggots. That's the first job the little ones get. The little ones get a job of feeding the maggots. And when they get older, they feed the queen. And when they get older, they become scouts, and they go out to bring it in, to bring it in. And then when they really get old, like me, 64 years old, then they go back into the colony and work as cleaners. So pretty soon I'll be in your church as a janitor cleaning up the church. But I'm just trying to say that everybody that has a part in this church is just as important. And there's different stages that God has us. Maybe he wants you to be a scout. Well, you better be a scout. Right now, I want to be a scout as God has given me strength to share the gospel. So each ant knows its responsibility. We need to know that. Feed the maggots, feed the queen, scouts, clean the colony at older age. And how Hebrews 10:24 says, stir up one another to love and to good works, to what God is doing. Meet together, encourage one another. Don't forsake the assemblies of yourselves together, the fellowship. You know, I think it's so neat that in this church, you don't go to pastor's office. You know, there's a place where you can go meet with the pastors. It's a fellowship of believers. It's so important. And meet together, encourage one another, help one another, serve together, striving together for the faith of gospel. Now, I'm not, just take this off, I'm not trying to spiritualize this passage, okay? I'm just trying to bring out some of the truths that I see. And I'd like to hear some of the ideas you would have also on this. But ants, they serve together, they strive together, they're unified. I remember my professor in missions told me, 5 D's of the devil. Number one, doubt. He started that in the Garden of Eden. Doubt, D's. Number two, division. Divide the workers and you've divided the work. Number three, distraction. Getting us distracted unto what doesn't count for eternity. And then discouragement. I'm the only one, Elijah. And then delay, putting off what we need to do today and saying, mañana, I'll do it tomorrow. And, you know, just how ants work together. Not only do they work together, but they take care of their queen. Now, I'm not going to try to, or their queens. You know, we have a responsibility within the colony. A colony. This is a special colony that God has made. And we have a responsibility to our pastors to respect, to esteem them. It says, respect those who labor among you. Work, they're laboring too, and we need to labor with them. Obey, submit to them. Obey your leaders, Hebrews 13 says. Support them. They're worthy of double honor, those that deserve his wages. Don't be quick to give accusation against your pastors and your leaders, except two or three witnesses. And then remember to mimic them. I think I went by that one too fast. So ants also have initiative in missions. In their mission. Ants have initiative within the colony, down there in the hole in the colony. They have a mission without. And we have a mission as a church. We have a mission from Jesus Christ to go. We got to go. We got to take the gospel. I try every day to have a track in my pocket in the morning and sing that little song, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Be ready to share the word, to go. And it's a command. We need to do it from our heart, not because somebody has to tell us to do it, but because we care for lost, we care for what God, we see what God sees as important. And our responsibility, just like Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, if I don't take time to share. And each of us need to ask the question, are we willing to go? Are we willing to do the mission, whether it's in within the church, without the church, are an ant's store up for this future. They prepare for the future. Just like 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, so run that you may obtain, but we do it for an imperishable crown. And things that are seen, things that are not seen are eternal. Things that are seen, it's all temporarily. We need to do for the future. We need to think of what counts for the future. Every man's work shall be made manifest, whether it's hay, wood, stubble, or whether it's gold, silver, precious stones. We need to do what is important, what God, and most of that is souls. Sorry. And this is my life verse, Revelation 22:12, where Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. You know, in your daily vacation Bible school, I saw leaders, and I saw faces that I see right now. And some of you weren't able to come to daily vacation Bible school, but some of you sacrificed to spend time with these kids and share God's word. And each of us need to know our what God wants me to do within this body. And every ant has extraordinary strengths. Ants can carry 10 to 50 times their own weight. And we also can do extraordinary things through Christ. So be strong in the Lord, as Ephesians 6:10 says. And remember that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Ye can do nothing. It's not our strength. It's not something about what we can do. And I love that verse in Isaiah 40 and verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through the work of his Holy Spirit. So when we think of ants, they work together, they have initiative in their mission, they store up for the future, and they have extraordinary strength, and we can ask ourselves, what colony do I belong to? I believe if you're a Christian, if you're born again, you're not going to be saved because of your good works. Ephesians 2:8, 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not works that you're working. But verse 10 says that it's God, once you're saved, he has special works that he wants you to accomplish within that colony, within that new body of believers. So what colony do you belong to? And what is your part here in this local church? Do you know Christ's mission? What part do I have within the local church? And fulfilling the Great Commission, both here, being a witness, in Pasco, in Richland, wherever we are here at my work, without, and do I know my spiritual gift? Am I using it that God has given me to use within this local church? And how many people, who am I bringing to the Lord and to this church? Am I even inviting people? Am I sharing God's word with them? And how can I help as a worker, as a soldier, as a scout in my own church? Just like these brothers and sisters that just had daily vacation Bible school. They were available. They said, Lord, here am I. I want to be used. I want to be part of these kids, winning them to Christ and helping them grow. How can I help and encourage my pastor or my pastors, the leaders in my church? How can I be part of what is God? And will I be willing, just as Isaiah said, I am willing to go? Pastor, I'll turn it over to you for a conclusion.
Thank you, Brother Dan, so much for that. We can learn a lot from the ants. We can learn a lot from the folks in Africa. I mean, how would you imagine carrying rocks and then breaking